Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
And in deference to our guest today, let me start by saying good morning on the West Coast, good afternoon on the East Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, warm, humid New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, the Chief Operating Officer from South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I'm beginning to think you may have to wake me up today.
And why is that?
I don't know. I just sort of felt like, you know, I'm always acting perky, you know, when I come on. You know, people say
you
I'm perky.
You are
so
the
I
perky
decided,
half.
Well, maybe I'm just going to be non-perky today. So there, have that.
Not a great day to not be perky because we've got a great show on tap.
I know. I'm really excited. Yes. We're going to talk generational stuff.
About
it's so good.
That's right. And I am just as guilty as anybody else. We've done a lot of shows. Now, we've done a show on the baby boomers before. It's been a while. But with everything that's been going on, all the talk about Generation Z and Generation Y and stuff like that, I felt compelled to have a show on the generation that is completely outspending and outinvesting every other generation by a wide margin. The baby boomers actually control close to 70% of all the after-tax income in our country and spend 50% of the leisure and recreation dollars. And yet, they're still borrowing money, they're still investing money, they're still making decisions about how to plan and modify their retirement. And Troy, I mean, I know you're a baby boomer, you're still a working baby boomer.
Yeah.
But I think even I've been guilty at times of neglecting our largest generation in American history.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I don't necessarily think of it as neglecting, but it's good that we're putting some emphasis on it today because it's, you know, the generational aspects that we speak about, we talk about as, you know, from a holistic standpoint, and what is what is the way of the future? So we actually, from the radio show perspective, we speak into the future. So the reality is that there is a portion of the future for the baby boomer generation, and I know our guest is going to speak to that. But what you also have to understand is that we cannot make decisions today incumbent upon what the baby boomers are going to do because our survival depends on us knowing and predicting and having some assurance as to what the next generation beyond it will do, which is why we spend so much time emphasizing it. Because if not, what we would be doing, if we spent all of our time and energy just focusing on the baby boomers, we'd be like falling off the end of a cliff because there would be no effort or energy placed on anything else because most of us are fairly comfortable in, okay, so we got that group, we know how to do it, we're real comfortable with it, and we'll never expand beyond it. So I think that maybe what we're having an opportunity to do today is to have a little bit of a balance. But for me, I make no apologies for the way we go after that Gen Y or that Gen Z group because it is absolutely where we are going.
Well, you know, the show is called The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And so we're going to continue to try to find the right balance, a great musical term, the right balance in how we discuss the key signature on this show, which, of course, will always be generational things. And Troy, in the time that we, you know, start and end this show, over 200 Americans will turn 50 while we're doing the show. And it is a fascinating generation born of the, you know, the end of the Second World War conflict, connected in so many ways to our great American cultural history. And I'm so looking forward to talking to our guest today, making a repeat appearance, Teresa Freeborn, the president and chief executive officer out at Exceed Financial Credit Union. And we're going to talk to her about being a working baby boomer, a CEO, and this great, great generation, and we'll do it all right after this. that has. It's probably, it hasn't been a long time since she rock and rolled. Hey, Teresa, how are you?
Hey, I'm just fine. It's the West Coast. We got lots of sunshine. I'm caffeinated, and we got Led Zeppelin. How good does it get? Come on.
It doesn't get any better than that. And if you're a credit union professional sitting at your desk listening to this show and you didn't get up just then, you need to check your pulse, because that is a rock and roll, and literally the song is called Rock and Roll, one of my absolute favorites by Led Zeppelin. When Cadillac opened in the early 2000s with the ad campaign that featured that song, it completely turned that Cadillac brand around. It made it relevant for a whole new generation of Americans. It's absolutely one of my favorite songs. I used to use it in my generation session all the time. Even though it was a little louder for some of the board members that would come to the conferences and meetings and stuff like that, but a great, great song. Hey, Teresa, speaking of baby boomers, as we mentioned, they spend more money on travel and leisure than any other generation. You just took a big, big trip. Tell us about it.
I did, and I kind of did something that would be your typical baby boomer kind of trip. I went for a golf trip in Ireland, and my husband and I met up with his brother-in-law and wife, and we did the golf thing. So we hit all the greats, and it was the most magical trip that I've ever experienced. We got to stay in these fabulous old manor houses where you dine in the dining room and you dress for dinner. So the food was fantastic. We went from there to the south of France and visited friends of ours who were on sabbatical, which is another very boomer thing that people are doing these days. And then we finished it all off with a trip to London, England, where we got to catch Martin Offler, of course, from the Dire Straits and at the Royal Albert Hall. So, I mean, it was the most incredible vacation. Wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, it sounds like you certainly made your rounds, and some of the things that you spoke about, which were, very particular to our generation, about dining in the dining room, dressing for dinner, making the trip, meeting up with friends on sabbatical. I mean, it's kind of interesting to talk about that. And one of the interesting things I want to say about the baby boomers spending money on the time and leisure, it's because we believe in the philosophy that we're going to spend it, we're not going to leave it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So even though everyone thinks that there's going to be a great transfer of wealth, they have yet to see us, because we have not yet finished and we're not going down easy. So I just saw last night on a news clip a gentleman 95 years old in great shape because he exercises every day. And I start to think, realistically, it's going to be pretty interesting what's going to happen in this country if we end up having more and more individuals actually starting to pay attention to their health and actually do something about it.
Yeah, very, very true. I always tell folks that I just feel I'm hitting my stride. It's just now. Think about that. And that's in terms of physiological and professional and on every level, financial. This is it. So you're right. There's no end in sight.
Yeah, and I set up this next question in the very beginning when I talked about the difference between how we emphasize the show on the Gen Y and the Gen Z versus the baby boomers. But so let's just bring us back to the baby boomers and how vital they are to the performance of, any institution, any retail establishment. And certainly having and owned the moniker as the generation of change. Do you think that, or maybe you might want to help me explain why we might or how we could balance the relationships that we spend on the baby boomers and the other generations, and maybe why we focused on the Gen Y for the last few years, or have we made a big mistake in doing that?
Absolutely, and I think that we always refer to boomers sort of as that pig in the python kind of thing, right? So for so many decades, marketers focused basically on the boomers because they really didn't have to focus anywhere else. That was it. That was the bulge, right? But we can't forget the fact that no matter how big that pig is, eventually the python's going to need another meal. So you look at Gen Y along with Gen X, and they truly do represent the future. If we don't think about sort of cultivating those groups that are going to be our bread and butter in the future, then we're going to wither and die within that generation. Think about it. So it's really that simple. Our job as CEOs and visionaries in our industry is to strike that right balance that Troy spoke about earlier. And, we got to make sure that the people that are coming up, the generations coming up, know that we're listening to them, that we hear them, that we speak their language. So all those things are really important. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that their parents are actually the ones that have the lion's share of the wealth. They have the investable resources.
Mm-hmm.
They have credit worthiness. They're the ones that drive my credit union's financial performance today. So we can't lose sight of that.
Well, yeah, and they're going to continue to still be – I'm sorry, Jason. They're going to continue to be a force, you know, for a lot longer than what we may have originally expected, simply because life expectancy is moving up. They have a very – they're starting to take a very different mindset to the way they treat their health and the way they want to extend their life.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Well, I'll tell you what, I absolutely agree with you, and I it is a very baby boomer esque thing to go and visit a fellow baby boomer on sabbatical. I think it's interesting. A lot of Gen Yers now, they take a sabbatical as soon as they retire from college in their parents' basement or something like that. But it's absolutely true. You know, I was doing the research for this show. The numbers are staggering in the context of investable assets and things like that with the baby boomers. Now, when I watch, you know, the bit of TV that I watch, you sometimes get the sense that every baby boomer is going to retire and is going to have a bed and breakfast or a vineyard in Napa Valley given to them. And even from your own personal experience, it's really not quite that simple, is it? You're still thinking about your retirement and your investments and your finances and your family. Talk to us about that.
Well, I completely agree with you. It's just not that simple. You know, I think the boomers are really in right at that point in their lives where they're turning this whole concept of retirement absolutely on its head. And I think it was Carlos Slim, you know, the Mexican businessman. I think he's the world's richest man. But, you know, he's saying 60 is the new 30. I think that gives you the idea here. And
wow.
There's absolutely no reason for people that, at least in advanced economies like the U.S., where we routinely live right now until we're well into our 90s, we're not really physical laborers, right? So to retire at 65, with all of that knowledge and maturity, and like I said earlier, we hit our stride at this time, but we've got the physical vitality, we're going to do our best work in the 60s. So I think it's insane for us to think that these folks want to leave the workplace at what I would call a relatively young age. So we can't ignore that. It's interesting, the point on sabbaticals, because there was a recent AARP survey that said that 40% of baby boomers actually believe that they're going to work until they drop. That's why they need a sabbatical right now. You see, we need a little break, and then we'll get back to doing what we're doing. But, you know, when you think of advertising and how the TV and whether it's programming or advertisements, but I think that it's come a long ways in terms of how to direct your attention to this marketplace. For instance, there's a lot of data-starved folks out there in the audience, I'm sure, and this will appeal to them. But, you know, Americans on average own 13 cars in their lifetime, but half of them are actually bought after the age of 50. So think about it. You know, there's more propensity for people after the age of 50 to actually be purchasing vehicles. So we need to be thinking about that. It's a very important part of our business. So why aren't we gearing up to those folks? It's not the younger generation that are buying the cars. It's this group here. And I think there's also this feeling that, you know, boomers might be sort of, you know, Luddites when it comes to technology. But I think all we have to do is think about who are the folks that form those incredible advanced technologies. Look at Bill Gates, and Jobs, and Larry Ellison. These guys, I mean, they're all boomers, okay? So don't think that just because we're old, we don't get that. Of course we do. I also think, as you mentioned earlier, about the 70% of, I think you said 70% of after-tax income is coming from that generation. They also own probably a similar amount of the net worth for all U.S. households. And don't forget that American women over 50 control an enormous and a growing share of that wealth as well. So if you want to get really specific, women over 50 are also a very important target for us to be coming up with programs for. We're also more active online. I mean, big time. We outspend any other generation on online purchases, which is huge. So I think we're just more computer savvy than you give us credit for. So I'd say that's kind of how I'm feeling about that whole area.
Well, I definitely can agree with you on two issues, and that is that women definitely control, over 50, control more of the assets, because my wife's philosophy has always been what is mine is hers and what is hers is hers.
So, exactly.
So we definitely have that, and I, yeah, and you're ready for the next rim shot, because when it comes to spending, yeah, definitely she has it down pat. So,
yeah.
And we have been stimulating the economy more than QE. So, Q3. So, there we go. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you talked a little bit about advertising in some of your commentary. And, you know, looking at your website, I've looked at some of the photos and things that you've chosen for your website specifically. So, when you're looking at advertising, and I think that because you're a leader in the industry and based on the statistical data that you shared with me in just this short period of time, you pay attention to stuff. So, tell me then about advertising. Is there something that you think is offensive in the way that people might portray baby boomers today in the way they ad? Or do you find that there's a way that you approach it at your credit union that would provide some great value to other leaders who need to make these choices?
Ah, that's interesting. Well, first of all, it takes a lot to offend me. So, and it's probably because I'm not really looking to be offended, but I tell you what I've really been noticing lately, and I think it's great. In very recent years, you're starting to see both television programmers and those advertisers really think about the message that, you know, the boomers ain't dead yet. I mean, that's coming out loud and clear. Some of the programming on television, I've noticed that, with Kathy Bates and Harry's Law and Mark Harmon and NCIS, and I think you're starting to see a shift there, and I think it's marvelous. And in advertising, you know, although the ads are aimed at older folks, we call older, you've got to be very careful there because, in my view, old rules, okay, just remember that, you know, us baby boomers aren't done with our lives just yet. So, but truly, I think that we're starting to note that people over 50 should be portrayed as really active and more vibrant than ever before because they kind of got it all together. They're not as stressed as the younger generations are as they're creating lives. So it's a very different – I saw a great ad, and I wish I could remember. I think it was a tourism ad for Arizona or something on the news the other day. And it was a very nice-looking man, obviously in his 60s, maybe late 60s, physically fit. He's talking about a vacation. He's talking about going golfing. The next thing you know, he's hanging off the side of some mountain saying, I guess I should have picked golfing. But it was just a perfect ad, and it so spoke to me because I thought – that's it. We're looking for experiences and all of that. So I think we're getting it, and I think as a credit union, just be very careful here. You know, if you try to stereotype a boomer, then you're probably going to be sorry because I don't think we're heading to a rocking chair anytime soon. So that's what I still see in a lot of ads for credit unions is I see a lot of sort of the old, you know, gray hair and people in homes and, you know, it's just, you know, nursing staff at the ready. You know, it's just not our reality. And here's the other part that I think is fascinating that I think of through my own lens, and that is how do you reach me as a boomer? And it's very different than how you reach the other generation. So you got to be good at all of these guys. I mean, you got to be good at all these segments. But boomers are very available, you know? They prefer newspapers. They prefer radio shows. They prefer sort of anything news-oriented. Like, we've got time to read. We've got time to keep up on things. So it's a very interesting group. They're willing to read things. They actually probably read more of the stuff that credit unions are putting out there than any other generation.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I definitely would agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Teresa Freeborn, the Chief Executive Officer and President out at Exceed Financial Credit Union, and we'll do it all right after this. Cherry on your Wednesday morning out on the West Coast. Hey, folks, this is the Power Performance where the talk is hot, but the hosts
are hotter, much hotter,
so much hotter.
Sizzling.
Desert Death Valley, Mojave Desert, center of the sun, hot. That's right. Speaking of hot, we got a hot guest from the West Coast today. Hey, Teresa, you know, you talked a little about the advertising and stuff like that, and you mentioned what I thought was the absolute key ingredient, which is auto lending and auto buying. I have my nice car, my 2006 Hummer H3, and I've got my airport car, the car that I don't care if it's stolen or destroyed or whatever. Both are paid for. And given my current economic circumstances, I'm not looking to buy a new car anytime soon. So in addition to auto lending, what are the kind of cool things is Exceed doing to make sure that they tap into that lending market of the baby boomers?
Well, I think it's just over 40% of our members are actually baby boomers. Now, for years we've been talking about this, and everyone's going, that's a really bad thing, you know, what do you do? Well, I actually think that it's just fine, because remember, these are the people that we brought on board, you know, 30 years ago when they were young and aspiring to careers and all of that. So what do they need? Most of them are becoming retired, or they're starting to think about, it's actually just a transition into something else. But we never assume that a person in their 60s or 70s, for that matter, is no longer working and earning. They're just going to be doing probably something different. They're delighted to get out of the, you know, the holds of the corporation that they work for, because we're a workplace credit union. So, you know, these are workplaces that we cater to. But they're also going off to doing some other things on their own. So they're working, they're earning. So therefore, this age factor is never a factor in lending or any business decision we make. So you got to know that we're very focused on that. We actually have a whole seminar series that we push on financial planning and wealth management, because there are all these 50 pluses that are saying, okay, I'd like to get out of the corporation and go off to do something else, but what's it going to take to do that? So we're being very specific with that. And we're doing really well there, so I'm kind of liking that. But product-wise, I mean, so other than investment and insurance services, big. They also, they love the technology. I mean, online banking.
Yes, they do.
You know, that's all really important still. So don't think that we're not into that stuff. So we got to make sure we're pretty state-of-the-art there. But just always remember that this boomer, they have dreams, they have aspirations. Although they're not kids anymore, they're buying. They're buying lots of stuff. They're consuming. You mentioned you have your car. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I have six cars. You know, I mean,
wow.
Who has six cars? I know. And so somebody says, well, would you buy any more cars? Sure, but only if I sell one, because, you know, I need room. So, but here's the thing. It's about
six cars. I'm afraid to ask
you. We have sort of like shoes for you. Instead of women have shoes, you buy cars. Okay, that's all.
Well, you should see my handbag collection. That's a whole other subject.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine.
All of this to say we're consuming. Okay, we're consuming. And one day, obviously, I won't need all those cars. My husband loves to collect them, and there's always something we got going on with cars. But all I'm saying is that people are still out there. They love their credit cards. Okay, they want credit cards, and they want credit cards that that have limits, that if you want to buy a car on it, you can. Okay, so you better be thinking about the parameters for these things. They're still taking out loans, lots of them, home improvements. Guess what they're also doing, though, big time, is they're helping their kids with college. They're helping that next generation. You know, it's really important. I look at we have four children, and we're helping them all, not just with school, but get into their first house and, you know, get on their feet, because they just cannot do it on their own. So that's where the money's going, and we need resources and services and products that speak to all of that. So,
well, I think, Teresa, some of the things that you speak to are very consistent with the data that's out there, and that is that whole consuming aspect of, you know, each generation consumes. And part of what I speak about when I talk about generations is that understanding the generations helps you understand to speak to them so that you can reach them in a way that helps them with the buying decision that they're going to make. And in many cases, the difference in the demographic data that we used to spend a lot of time on only determines the size of the wallet. So when it comes to purchasing a car, you're going to find that multiple generations are going to need a car. but how do you speak to the generation in order to tap them so that they understand that you understand them? Because that's where selling in that relationship comes from, is the comfort that individuals have in the communication aspect. So
absolutely,
kind of wrapping a little bow around that, I certainly do understand what you're doing. But I'm going to wrap up here, but I got to ask you this question. I'm going to go a little bit off script for a second. It's not script, but the question on music. I don't want to ask you that one. I want to ask you about your name of the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, when you chose Exceed Financial and you included the word credit union, did any of that have to do with baby boomer influence?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Exceed was, we had to come up with something with an X in it because our roots go back to Xerox, right?
Xerox, so we
want the Xeroids to appreciate that we're not forgetting them either, okay? So the X is prominent. So our URL actually remained the same, XFCU, which was kind of nice because it used to be Xerox Federal Credit Union. So now it's Exceed Financial Credit Union. We're still a federal credit union. But I will always use the words credit union as long as the baby boomers are part of my market, which will be obviously until I'm off the universe. My feeling is they know what a credit union is. That generation knows, and it's up to us to get that lesson in the hands of the next generation so that they understand what a credit union is as well. So as part of our brand, it's still pretty powerful in our neck of the woods. So, and I think at the end of the day, us 50-somethings, we're going to be the center of your universe for at least the next 40 years. So,
I completely agree with you. I completely agree.
Build our strategies based on that. It's going to be there, and it's going to be prevalent in it. Yeah, and so
we've got about 3 minutes left in the show, but I want to ask a question, too, that wasn't really part of our pre-call. I believe a lot of relationships continue to be won and lost in the call center, in the lobby, in the drive-up. Do some of your younger Gen Y employees, do you sometimes feel there might be a bit of a disconnect between them and the baby boomer folks that come into the credit union looking for that relationship and that type of service?
Meaning that they don't have any need to come into the branch? Is that what you're
saying? Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. I feel very much that I don't understand Generation Y, and it's probably my fault.
Oh,
I'm 45
okay.
years old. But do you think that a Generation Y employee needs a better understanding that, yeah, the guy might have a little gray hair on top, but he represents an absolute wealth of opportunities for the credit union?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not so sure we have to spend a lot of time on that. Most of these, the younger, the X and Yers, have parents, obviously, that are the baby boomers, and they understand their parents. They see what's going on there. So a lot of them get it. And when you're dealing with the real seniors, what I would call the senior generation, that's actually over 85 in my mind, and I think
right.
it is with our staff. So those are the people that actually need help. But, you know, I feel sorry for you, Jason. At 45, that's a really crappy place to be because you're not really a boomer. And
I know.
You're kind of not he's
in that Gen X, which in my opinion is that lost generation because they do not know whether they're baby boomers. They are not Gen Yers. They're just stuck out there. There's only 45 million of them, and they're just like hanging out trying to figure out what they're going to be when they grow up.
Maybe
and
that's
I bet
why I'm irritated all the time and getting mad at people all the time. I just don't know where I belong.
Well, I'll let you hang out with us boomers, okay?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
You don't know what you're in for, but go ahead.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Hey, folks, I've had the opportunity to meet Teresa twice. She's every bit as lovely and gracious as the picture you see on the episode page. Teresa, as always, you're an awesome guest. I love the enthusiasm and the energy you bring on behalf of your generation. And on behalf of Troy and myself, we just want to thank you so very, very much for taking some time out of your day and joining us on the show.
It was my pleasure and a lot of fun. Thanks very much, you guys.
Hey,
okay,
you take care.
You.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
And as we often say with a guest like that, if only we were bold enough to have an hour-long show, because I could have had this conversation, Troy, for a long time.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I really enjoyed speaking with her. I really enjoy, our guests are very knowledgeable about, their individual topic, and it really just adds a lot of, you know, good opportunity for conversation and dialogue. I mean, that's the whole reason for conversation is not just to be saying words, but it's to enlighten individuals in a process of thinking and allowing themselves to, you know, really maybe challenge some of their thought processes a little bit. I kind of like the fact that, you know, we had a little bit more emphasis on the baby boomer generation than always just focusing on the Gen Y. But, you know, I disclaimered that in the very beginning of the show as to why it's important for me to spend some time on that. But I certainly understand everything that Teresa was saying. It also helps to explain this. When credit unions set out a goal that says to lower the age of their average member, they're focusing on the wrong goal. Their goal is not to lower the age. Their goal is to increase their membership and to increase potentially their membership in a particular demographic, and that would be a much more powerful goal than to say that. And the reason why is because they can't measure it properly because things are working against them. And everything that Teresa said about baby boomers working longer, being more vital, I mean, come on, let's face it. Every time that we continue to age in the credit union age population of the membership, the number's going to drive up. So it doesn't matter unless you start bringing in infants to counter the 85, you're never going to get your number in the middle. So it's just such a fruitless activity.
I know. I never understood the need to lower the median age, especially if it's older people. Again, I don't mean to use that word disrespectfully. You know, baby boomers aren't necessarily older people. I love the fact that, hey, if 60 is the new 30, I'm still a teenager, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. But,
well, I can
tell
you from my perspective that the closer we get to 60, the a lot younger it looks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I agree with you. And, of course, the great thing is, if we want to have Teresa back on the show, we can have her back on the show and talk about baby boomers. And we'll make her our special correspondent for baby boomers as well as compulsive car buyers. That would be a great, great angle to have.
It would, and I definitely know that our friend John Vardalos would appreciate it since he definitely is such an advocate and speaker on the boomer program.
Yep. And I don't even have six pair of shoes, so I think that's awesome. Well, hey, listen, folks, believe it or not, sadly, we've reached the end of another great show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more? Exceed Financial Credit Union is playing for keeps out there in El Segundo, California. They got their marketplace figured out. Folks, another great, great interview. We want to thank again Teresa Freeborn from Exceed. And if you want to find the best guests and the best information without going through the TSA shakedown and a bunch of expense reports to fill out, all you have to do is tune in here every Wednesday where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hotter.
Yeah,
signing off
baby.
From New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. My name is Jason Dias, and from the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina, his name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines.
That's right. Hey, everybody, have a great, great week. Get out there. Get to know those baby boomers. They will keep you in business forever. Until next Wednesday, we'll talk to you soon.